The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with KD's ultimatum. Durant delivers a new demand in a face-to-face meeting with the owner of the Nets. What does it all mean? Plus, big news in Baltimore. Lamar's getting some much-needed help on offense. Are the Ravens sneaky Super Bowl contenders? How much time for Tua? Is it now or never for Miami's quarterback? Could he lose his job if he gets off to a slow start? All this and more coming up with you. Look at this table. We are packed here on a Tuesday, and why not? I'm Alan Hunt in for Greeny, and we've got Graz, we've got Monica, we've got Mike T, and we've got Ninko, and we've got all kinds of talk for you. And we also got Bart Scott. You talk about talking. He'll be in the room at 9 o'clock as well. But we begin with Kevin Durant's latest demand. Monica, this is going to be something to get into. But first, of course, we have baseball and the Yankees, who are looking to snap a five-game losing streak in Seattle. Matt Carpenter has been a terrific addition to this team, but he fouls that pitch off his foot, and he is in some serious pain. Watch this again, right on the top of the foot. Ouch. Yeah, he would have to leave the game with a left foot fracture. Bad news for the Yankees, but in the third inning, good news. Josh Donaldson takes it deep. Solo home run as the Yankees extend their lead to 3-1. They need this. Now, who's missing from this highlight? Oh, that's right. All rise. Aaron Judge at the plate. And he goes, yeah. Takes it deep for the 44th home run of the season for him. And the Yankees go on to win 9-4. That home run now. Aaron Judge is in some company. Only three players in Major League Baseball history have had more home runs through their team's first 110 games of a season. We're talking about Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth, and Mark McGwire. Judge is now on pace for 65 home runs. Okay, now to the Kevin Durant ultimatum. Durant and Nets owner Joe Tsai met in London recently, and Durant reiterated his desire to be traded. Sources confirm he suggested the franchise needed to choose between him and coach Steve Nash and general manager Sean Marks. Last night, Tsai made his feelings clear on Twitter, quote, "Our front office and coaching staff have my support, and we will make the best decision, the decisions in the best interests of the Brooklyn Nets." Joined by Monica McKnight, and we bring in Tim Bontemps as well to join us. Tim, good morning. So what is the very latest on the KD front and all this that just happened yesterday?
Well, Alan, good morning to you, too. And I think that the latest on this, Alan, frankly, is that nothing has really changed. Obviously, you can say, you can look at what Kevin Durant said in this meeting with Joe Tsai and say, hey, this is a huge deal, right? Kevin Durant wants the coach GM of the team fired. But as we saw with Joe Tsai's tweet, this actually became the easiest layup for me of all time for Joe Tsai. Oh, wait a minute. I can go support the coach and GM of my team instead of the guy that 6 weeks ago came to me and said, I want to be traded. Seems like a pretty easy call to me. And so as you look at this situation going forward, I think we're in the same spot we've been in really since the middle of last month, which is that if you look around the NBA, there are not teams showing the kind of interest in giving up the kind of trade package to the Brooklyn Nets that would make them want to trade Kevin Durant. And so as of now, like it was the last time I was on the show a couple weeks ago, and like it was a couple weeks before that, I think we're looking at a situation where these teams are, well, Kevin Durant and the Nets are going to be together at the start of training camp and probably into the start of the season. And they're going to have to find a way to play nice and make this work, because I don't see this marriage ending anytime soon.
I have said that the tabloids in New York are praying for this. They want this kind of just absolute mayhem. Monica, what did the tweet, though, from the owner, what does it say to you?
It didn't mean much to me, Han and Bontemps. Like, I think he made a statement, but we have seen more times than not, y'all have covered the league forever, owners say stuff and then different stuff happens. To me, Bontemps, what you just said is where I'm sort of stuck, right? We have not seen a team that's willing to trade what the Brooklyn Nets want for KD, right? If he were to be like, oh, we're going to do this, you lose even more leverage. To me, this is still sort of open-ended. At least KD has given exactly what he would like to see moving forward, and I personally am not ready to completely rule it out. I don't think it's that cut and dry.
Very interesting that he would make this type of a demand or request, or however you want to word it, because if we go back to April, Kevin Durant talked about the coaching of the team and Steve Nash, who had been under some criticism, as you know.
Okay.
And it's very interesting the type of comments he made about Steve Nash back in April. Let's take a listen.
I think he's done a great job. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been dealt a wild hand, you know, injuries, trades, disgruntled players, like guys in and out the lineup, you know, stuff that he can't control. And I felt like, you know, he handled it as best as he could.
Tim, what do you make of those comments then to what is now being said to the owner from Kevin Durant?
Well, it's kind of amusing that Kevin Durant used the phrase disgruntled players in that answer. I mean, obviously, I would say he was referring to James Harden as part of that, given the fact that James had just asked for a trade a couple of months ago away from the Nets. But now he obviously could fall into the same camp. I mean, look, obviously there's all this noise around the Nets. There's been all this noise around the Nets for months, frankly. There's been all this noise around the Nets for going back on almost 4 years now since Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving joined up to play with the Brooklyn Nets back in the summer of 2019. I mean, I was in Philadelphia in January of 2020 when Kyrie went down the roster and said, yeah, it's clear we need to have better pieces around me, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Garrett Temple, DeAndre Jordan, and Kevin Durant, and just left out half the roster that he was playing with. So basically, yeah, we could throw these guys out of here and go get new players. Like,
right.
This is nothing new for this Brooklyn Nets team. They've been a scene of chaos for 4 years now. I don't think this is any different. If they get to training camp, it's going to be the same thing over again, and we're going to be talking about the latest as the world turns with the Nets for a few more months at least, I think.
As the world turns. A soap opera, if you will.
Figure.
But honestly, just the Steve Nash of it all. How do you go into training camp coaching a player who just went
you're
to the
really
owner to get
on
you
my
fired?
You're getting on my nerves with this. You know that, right?
That's what I'm here for.
It's basketball. Like, I think we do this thing where, like, sports culture is the same thing as our office. I mean, if I said I think Allen Hahn was terrible filling in on Get Up, like, it might be a little awkward because we have to work in this capacity. But if we have to get on the court and go try to win a basketball game, please, all of that stuff goes to the back end. Hoopers say all the time, you a bum, you need to work on this, blah, blah, blah. But if you're on my team, we're going to roll together. Mm-hmm. One thing that we have to give Kevin Durant in this, whether or not this his demands are met or not, he has a track record of showing up and being reliable. And I think in this, we have forgotten where this team was circa December prior to his injury, when he was literally carrying this squad and putting together an MVP caliber type of year. And so for me, with that in mind, Kevin Durant's don't come around every year, right? That, with that in mind, I don't think that it's just completely dead, that his demands may or may not be met.
Okay, so let the players run the franchise. Tim, thank you. Get some breakfast. We'll see you a little bit later on in the show. Monica, if you're going to have any comments about me and my hosting ability,
I'm gonna go above you.
Save them till after we are done. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys later. But we have some sneaky big news in the NFL. As yesterday, Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins returned to practice for the first time since tearing his ACL during last year's preseason. He was limited to individual drills and worked on the side during team drills. Now, Dobbins averaged 6 yards per rush in 2020, which led all running backs that season in second highest mark by a rookie running back since the merger. So, we're now back here at the table. I feel like I'm in friendlier confines now. I hope you guys don't have any issues with my hosting abilities as Monica McNutt.
Doing great.
But you would know how difficult this job is, Grouse, right? You've done this. Right. Okay. So, with that in mind, now let's continue on this story because, Ninko, with Dobbins back now with the Ravens and healthy, what's the significance of his addition now to this team?
I think it's huge for this team and what they want to do. They want to be a triple threat team, so they want to be able to run the football, and then you have a quarterback that can drop back, and he can run as well. So you look back when they had Mark Ingram and they were really successful, they had that triple threat of running the football aggressively downhill, pulling the ball. Your quarterback can also run with the football, and he can throw the football down the field. So with that, last year when their running back room was basically devastated with injuries, it made them a little bit one-dimensional, and they need to be multidimensional for this offense to really play tricks on a defense, because it's a lot of moving parts. And as a defense, you better understand who you got, and you better get it, or else that's when you see those big plays. So I think him being healthy is going to be huge for this team to make a long run this season.
Make a long run. It's very interesting. On my team, you were here yesterday. We had Ryan Clark on the show yesterday, and he had this to say about the Ravens maybe being a sleeper Super Bowl pick.
They're getting so much hate. It's like people are forgetting they were the most injured team in football last year. And at Lamar Jackson's injury, he had them leading the AFC North. I expect him to come back and play extremely well. You get your running back, and we know how great a coach John Harbaugh is. Lamar Jackson is solely focused on winning, which is obvious because he's not focused on his contract. And I believe having a guy like that who purely wants to prove that he can win in this league with his style of play, with his level of play, is going to be huge for this team offensively.
It's going to be really interesting also to see the whole Lamar of this situation. But just right here, Mike, for the Ravens to be a contender, does Lamar have to be signed? Does this have to get done for that to come to fruition, where in February we're talking about them as a Super Bowl team?
It would certainly help from a front office perspective. You want to minimize distraction heading into the season. You want to have your players signed. You want to be focused on your opponent. Lamar Jackson's a rare person. Like, he can minimize these distractions, but it's also a distraction for every other player, because the Dan Grazianos of the world are going to ask all the players about, hey, what do you think that your quarterback's going to be, you know, a free agent? So you want to do everything you can within reason to get a deal done. And again, knowing that Deshaun Watson signed for $230 million in your division, it kind of sets the market, whether you like it or not, if you're the Ravens. So getting a deal done actually does help. It's a massive intangible. And Nico, you know, as a former player, you don't want any distractions heading into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that the sooner they can get a deal done to where everyone else can just focus on winning, that's the most important part. Obviously, we know they have the talent. You have an MVP quarterback. So I think the biggest wrinkle in this whole thing is we don't really know what's going on in Lamar's head on what he wants. Does he want to be the highest paid quarterback? Do the Ravens want to get a deal done? Or is Lamar like, yo, I got the ultimate confidence in myself. I'm just going to keep playing. I'm going to keep balling. I'm going to have fun. The price just keeps going up. If I play another year and I have an MVP season and we stay healthy, I'm going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So he's betting on himself.
That, to me, is the most fascinating part of this story, is the fact that we don't know. And don't normally, Graz, we're supposed to know. Like, that's your job. That's our job, is to know these things. And so we tell viewers, we tell fans, we don't know. Why? What do we know, at least, about this situation with him and the Ravens?
Well, we know they've been talking. They were talking this time last year, too, and they didn't get a deal done. We know that Lamar has some idea in his head of what he wants, and at this point, they're not there. So that doesn't necessarily mean entirely money. It means structure. It means guarantee structure. It means how much gets paid out in the first 3 years. These are all ways that players and agents, even though he doesn't have one, use to compare their contracts with other players. So it could get done. But if it doesn't, Lamar Jackson, you know, is a unique individual. I don't think, to Mike's point, that it's going to be a distraction. He can stay focused on winning. He can think about what's coming in the next couple of years. The Ravens can franchise him next year. They can franchise him the year after that. And if you're scared of that, just look at Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott and how that worked out for those guys. They're incredibly rich as a result. And by the way, Dak did get hurt the year before he signed his contract, right, and he still got that massive deal.
But, you know, Dan, to your point, I've been there many times where maybe the player, it's not a distraction for him, but the head coach comes into your office, can we just get the deal done? I don't want to have to answer one more question about Lamar's contract. And at some point, knowing John Harbaugh as the competitor he is, he wants to check that box too, so he doesn't have to answer it every single day.
A quarterback that we've talked about a lot lately has been Lamar Jackson, but another one, Aaron Rodgers. So coming up, Rodgers and the Packers, could they actually be better this season without Davante Adams than they were last year? And it's now or never for Tua in Miami. What if he gets off to a slow start in September? Wait till you see the schedule. Could he be sent right to the bench? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Get Up, ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon 5G from the network more people rely on. All right, now time for Contenders Kryptonite. We're going to explain contending teams' weaknesses. So, Dan Graziano, what about the Rams? What's their kryptonite?
Well, their quarterback's arm hurts when he throws the ball. I think that's a big deal. I don't know why we're not more concerned about this. Matthew Stafford dealing with elbow soreness. He looked good throwing the ball in practice on Saturday, but they didn't practice Sunday, and they practiced yesterday, and he didn't throw in practice. The Rams keep saying this is the plan. Don't worry, don't worry. Fine. I think you're better off when your quarterback's arm does not hurt when he throws the ball. We'll find out together.
His arm hurts. Isn't that an issue? Ninko, the Bucs, what's their kryptonite?
Inside pressure. And if you look at what they've done in the past, Mike Vrabel, when he plays against Tom Brady, what does he do? He goes up the A gap, the B gap. He double mugs on defensive looks, so he's trying to get pressure up the middle. You can run past Tom all day. He loves that. Steps up in the pocket, throws the football down the field. It's when he has somebody in his face and he can't step up. That's going to be an issue with them losing their center, mm-hmm. and they have new guards.
Yeah, that was a big injury to Jensen. Mike T, the Packers, did they have kryptonite?
Offensive line, they did a great job last year, but Elton Jenkins only played in 8 games. David Bakhtiari only played in 1 game. I think it's really going to be hard to have that sort of sustainability up front without those two great tackles. So when they come back, it's going to be a big question mark for them to have sustainability.
This is an interesting team, the Packers, because we always talk about their division and how it's a weak division. Maybe the Vikings can push, but the Bears are going through another rebuild. The Lions are the Lions. But yet, here's Aaron Rodgers. He loses Davante Adams, yet here's a question. Can they be better this year than they were even last year?
I actually think they can, despite losing the best receiver in Davante Adams. I love their draft, those two first-rounders, Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. When healthy, in my opinion, Jaire Alexander is the best corner. So when you look at the totality of the team, again, if they could be healthy up front with Jenkins and Bakhtiari coming back, they actually have the pieces to be better overall. Now, Hembo will remind us that the most receptions any rookie wide receiver has ever had from Aaron Rodgers is 38. So there is a question mark in terms of how the skill players will develop. But overall, Alan, I actually think you can make an argument as a team they may be better.
Dan, you were there at Packers camp. What'd you see?
Well, they think their defense is going to be great. I mean, they talk about cornerback. It's not just Jaire Alexander. They have depth at that position, which is so important, obviously, the way teams play defense now. Think about the way their season turned in the playoffs last year. It was on a blocked punt. They had historically bad special teams, and their special teams have been bad for a number of years. They bring in Rich Bisaccia, who's one of the best special teams coaches in the league. You know, some people thought he might have a chance to keep the Raiders' head coach job. Well-regarded, they think he'll fix that. that. Yes, they have to figure it out on offense. They love both of their running backs, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, so they can lean on them early in the year. I don't think it's out of the question that they're better this year. And as the year goes along, they have a lot of faith in their quarterback to make something out of this receiver core, as they should.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to that division part as well. Okay, let's say, Ninko, that they have a season like these guys are saying. They could be better than they were last year. And last year, they were pretty damn good. Aaron Rodgers, we keep talking about. He's got one Super Bowl. Can he get another one before all is said and done? Does it matter? Would it mean anything to his legacy?
I don't care, but there's a lot of people that care, I guess. Listen, he's a great quarterback. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, look at Dan Marino. Great quarterback. Just he has the asterisks. Didn't win a Super Bowl. Right. He's won a Super Bowl, so he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Now, it's not just one person. It's not one piece. They had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks for a very long time. Look back to the Seattle game when we played Seattle in the Super Bowl. It should have been Green Bay. If they just would have fielded an onside kick, you talk about special teams,
yeah.
It's not just one area of your team that wins and loses these games. You think back to the playoffs a couple years ago where they kicked the field goal instead of went for it, and Aaron Rodgers had an issue with that.
That's right.
So there's a lot of things that go into winning a Super Bowl. A little bit of luck. You got to have three phases. So if he wins another one, it'll be great. But if he doesn't, I don't think that I'm going to look at him and be like, oh, he's a terrible quarterback because he only won one Super Bowl.
Right. That's the thing. You guys wrecked it for everybody. Like, right? I mean, Brady is the one that blew
Patriots.
This all up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
come on, let's be realistic.
Like,
here.
It's hard to win the Super Bowl. It's incredibly hard
it's
to win
hard.
Two. Now you got a guy running around that won seven, and now everybody's going to be compared to that. Just take him out of it. Aaron Rodgers' career has been just fine.
Very good.
But, you know, the other X factor this year to be, guys, is all the NFC contenders have real concerns. You know, we talked about Stafford's elbow. Dallas's skilled players. So everybody, you know, Tampa Bay's had their issues as well. So Green Bay actually may be better despite losing Devontae Adams. Mm,
you guys ruined it for everybody.
They did.
You know, your answer should be.
And then another thing, too, is
bad.
If you're in the NFC,
yeah.
You can get to the Super Bowl, but you might run into a buzzsaw, you know, going into the Super Bowl
Absolutely.
Playing the Bills
right.
or Kansas City or
yeah.
any of those teams. I mean, they're lights out better than the AFC than the
Green
NFC.
Bay once again and Aaron Rodgers once again, still a story. All right, coming up, we go back to our top story. It's them or it's me. Kevin Durant's ultimatum gets a very public response from the owner of the team. What should the Nets do now? More football. How much time for Tua? Could he lose his job if he gets off to a slow start? We're going to talk about that next. Let's get up. ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
You and we are built for this. This is what we do.
Promise, no matter what happens, you stick together.
How about the brothers? Turn that death through, brothers.
You go out here and take something that belongs to you. That's what you do. You go take what belongs to you.
Well, Welcome back. Back to the Kevin Durant ultimatum. Durant and the Nets and Nets owner Joe Tsai met in London recently, and Kevin Durant reiterated his desire to be traded. Sources confirm he suggested the franchise needed to choose between him and coach Steve Nash and general manager Sean Marks. Tsai went to Twitter and expressed his support for his coach and his GM. Jay Will joins us here in the studio.
It's only going to get better. That's my take.
And I quote, what do you make of this like latest now part of this soap opera that's happening there in Brooklyn?
Well, just because you make an ultimatum doesn't mean that I need to abide by it.
Right.
And that's first and foremost. And I look, this to me is Kevin Durant saying, hey, I know something that you're not willing to do, and I want to be traded. So if I were Joe Tsai, in my opinion, I would call KD's bluff. Because at the end of the day, I think KD loves the game of basketball, and I'm curious to see to what extent KD will willing to go through in order to not be on this basketball team. I might find middle ground with Steve Nash to a degree. I might say, hey, let's find a way to talk this out. You know, is that Steve Nash, and who are the better other candidates that you can bring to the table for Steve Nash? But at the end of the day, I will call KD's bluff, because I don't think you're going to get anything on the market equivalent to the value that KD would have as being the best player in basketball right now. I don't.
Mon?
Monica,
Daryl Morey and Ben Simmons have played this game before.
Does this not, though, create the most uncomfortable place, which is training camp, where I'm walking in the gym and, oh, here comes the guy that tried to get me fired. Now I got to play nice with you?
I think that's bigger in our minds. We're going to go play basketball. And so eventually you roll the balls out and you get after it. Like, it just comes down to basketball. But to your point, Jay, I don't think that this would happen, but I do think it's something worth exploring. And okay. And here's why. You're not going to get what you want in terms of KD on the trade market, right? Mm-hmm. He has shown that he's willing to show up and be reliable. I said this to you earlier, Han. I think we've forgotten how this team looked circa December before he was injured and the way that he was putting together an MVP caliber type of year and was carrying a roster that did not include Kyrie Irving. He's not a guy that comes around every year. It's something that you at least explore in my mind, because nobody is coming to the arena to see Sean Marks or Steve Nash. And so to me, it may be a non-starter, but I think if this meeting, if we're to believe reports that this meeting was as professional and honest as it is projected, then who's to say that a relationship can't exist between Tsai and KD that would move this team forward?
Well, my point on this whole thing is, like, Sean Marks is the guy that's actually organized this team to get them to the point where on paper they are a title contender. So look, at the end of the day, Kevin Durant has co-signed a lot. It may not have been his voice, but trust me, it's going through Kevin Durant for all these decisions. So let's all have accountability. That's why I said I might be willing to find middle ground on Steve Nash. You know, first time head coaching experience with KD and Kyrie trying to win a championship. Sean Marks, no, but also come to the table with who are better suitable candidates that can replace Steve Nash that you will listen to help you win a championship.
Okay, I got you maybe on a compromise. I just think, to me, the idea that all of a sudden we're clutching our pearls because we've gone now to the owner is ridiculous when we have been building to this point in this league for however long.
You are ceding power to the players if you do this.
Bro, just any player,
you
though, y'all.
Come
power. On. This is not just any guy.
I'm on your side. There's middle ground.
And I don't know, is it ceding power or is it collaborating?
Collaborate?
I'm just
get
saying.
These guys fired is not... Fire these guys is not a collaboration, though. I don't understand it.
I don't... Right. The power play
it has to be resolved somehow, some way. How does it get resolved, Jay? Does it get resolved by just simply saying, we all got to work together, we all got to figure it out? Because Joe Tsai just said, I'm not getting rid of my front office.
Well, he didn't say that.
Thank you. He didn't quite say that.
Do you want to read the tweet again? Could we put the tweet back up on the board?
Please put the tweet up.
Production, please.
Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets.
Can you read that last line one more time?
We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay. Just
so, like, the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets is to win a championship. How you go about doing that is ultimately the big question that we have to ask. So all I'm saying to you is there might be wiggle room there. But at the end of the day, I'm never going to acquiesce to a player all the way. There is middle ground. You have to find that middle ground and collaborate.
Where's Bontemps? See, I told you the door's still open. Where's Bontemps?
But that's how you're leaving it. Is there a scenario where Kevin Durant plays for the Nets this season? Like, do you see it still as that's the only option, only real option for him Not necessarily.
You see that line that
I was like, what just happened?
That's the line I'm drawing. So what I'm saying to you is, people are saying, well, the market isn't the market what it was for Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, okay, are we going to have that same kind of narrative when it comes along to Lamar Jackson when we set the market for Deshaun Watson? No, we're not, right? The market is what the market and the players have dictated. So I know what I can get for Rudy Gobert. I'm looking at Kevin Durant, even if you want to argue one, two, or three, the best player in basketball. That is worth more than Rudy Gobert. I still feel like I'm slightly losing if I get something comparable to Rudy Gobert. So is Boston on the table? Jaylen Brown, Derek White, picks? It's not going to cut it for me. It's not going to give me the equivalent for that. No. You're going to have to play. We have to play.
Give you back your franchise, control of your franchise. Monica, so you guys are just – this is the way to go. He's a great player. Give him what he wants.
I didn't say give him what he wants.
Jay, I am more inclined to at least explore it in earnest. Sean Marks and Steve Nash cannot suit up, hon. Come on. Like, we're talking very basic level. And again, I keep going back to earlier in the season. I think if KD had a history of being a little bit more temperamental in terms of not showing up and being willing to play basketball, I would be a little bit more hesitant. But we know, one thing we know about KD is he loves the game of basketball and the opportunity to compete and have a chance to win. If this gives me a pathway there, I'm at least exploring it.
I'm saying David Blatt was LeBron James head coach once, right?
I'm saying Kenny Atkins. You know where we were in March 2020.
I'm not saying
about
the GM. I'm not saying the GM, but I am.
I love these guys.
Talking coach.
The NFL, the NBA is in big trouble. It's in big trouble.
Agreed.
On to the NFL.
Agreed.
On to the NFL. Thank you, guys. Overreaction Tuesday, and let's do Overreaction Tuesday with Dan Graziano. Dan. Dak Prescott will lead the Cowboys to the NFC Championship game. Overreaction or not?
That's an overreaction. I think Dallas has a good team, but I don't think it's as good a team as last year, and they came up short in the playoffs. Still waiting to see that from Dak Prescott in terms of playoff success, and I think it's going to be more difficult this year because I don't think they're going to repeat as division champions.
All right, how about the Bengals? Should they be concerned that Joe Burrow isn't practicing yet? Is that an overreaction or not?
I say it's an overreaction for them to be concerned at this point. A month to go till the season. He's been out there, been a little more out there each time, right? Like last Monday he had an IV in his arm. Yesterday he was apparently tossing the ball around with receivers. So it's about building up strength post-appendectomy, and the Bengals think he's going to be just fine.
How about the Dolphins? The Dolphins are really all in on Tua, as he says they are. Overreaction or not?
I think that's an overreaction. I do think Tua Tagovailoa has to perform well this year in order to be the Dolphins' starting quarterback again next year. A lot of pressure on him. He probably believes that he can do it, and maybe he can. But I don't think the Dolphins are all in on him if he lets them down in 2022.
All right, let everybody at the table here take a look at the Dolphins' schedule to start this season as you figure if they get off to a slow start, could things start to get hot in Miami? Patriots, Nico knows all about that.
I'll tell you what, when you look at the schedule.
At Ravens, Bills, at Bengals.
I see Miami
on a short week.
I'd say, oh no, it's going to be hot. So that they could win that football game. Ravens, Bills, and Bengals, I don't know. We'll see.
Again, Bengals on a short week, too. Look at that. It's a Thursday game off the Bills. Mike T, if you were running the Dolphins and you saw this schedule, would there be a little bit of concern for you about what's our record after that opening stretch, and how will we feel about our quarterback?
Well, I start with Nico. Like, we like those home games in September down there because it's a little warm down there. But, yes, Tua has to get off to a good start. They had a really good offseason, getting Tyreek Hill, the most explosive player in the NFL, with Jaylen Waddle. So, hopefully for Tua, he could tamp down the noise, play well early. You have an offensive-minded head coach who's been really had a lot of success in a different system with Kyle Shanahan that he's bringing to the table. And then, you know, the big question out there is going to be what happens with Jimmy G. Jimmy G had success with Mike McDaniel. At some point, San Francisco is going to cut him. And Tua can make all this noise go away by just playing good football. If he stumbles early and Jimmy G is a free agent, it's easy to connect the dots that, hey, Mike McDaniel, Jimmy G, and here we go.
Mike T has Jimmy G now about, what, four teams are we on now?
Him and OBJ.
We got Odell, five different teams. But still, you know, that's another option. But there's an option on the roster, Dan.
Well, they have Teddy Bridgewater, who they brought in, who started plenty of games in the league. And I think at this point we know sort of what the ceiling is. But if you're hypothetically, right? I mean, Tua, he could be great. I don't know. Hypothetically, he's not playing well. You're a few games in. You feel like Bridgewater's a viable starting option because you like the roster you've built around him. It's not out of the question. Look, there's a lot of ifs here. That is a very difficult schedule. He's going to have to hit the ground running.
What do you think, Nick?
There's no excuses now. So you look at the offense. Okay, you got the fastest receiver in the NFL. You go out and you go get an offensive-minded head coach. Now he's going to be the guy running the offense. And now Tua has everything in front of him. That go out there, make sure you play 17 games because he hasn't played a full season yet. So, number one, I want to make sure he's healthy so he can play a full season. And, listen, with 2021, weren't they just trying to talk to Tom? You know, like they were trying to get Tom to be the quarterback there.
Yeah, so trouble for that.
Yeah, a little bit of trouble there. They lose a first-round pick. So, again, Tua's got a lot of pressure on him to perform and perform well in the first quarter of this season. If he doesn't, he definitely can be replaced.
Yeah, he might not be Mr. Right. He's just Mr. Right now, right, Tua? Could in be. Miami? Because Tom Brady, as you mentioned, was somebody that they were talking to.
Yes.
Now, it's Tom Brady. Anybody could say.
A year ago, they were trying to get Deshaun Watson. I mean, like, it's not as if they've never had a wandering eye since they took Tua overall.
Young quarterbacks take time to develop, and sometimes we see big steps like we saw with Josh Allen. And again, to Miami's credit, when they add players like Raheem Mostert, bring Mike Gesicki back, address the offensive line, there's reasons why Tua can play well. But Nico, I think you make a great point too. You have to see him play for 17 games in a season, because if you want to extend him, you want to know that he's going to be productive and durable.
Durability, the most important part of
Josh. Well, I was just going to say with Josh Allen, he was durable. So he was able to kind of go through some growing pains.
And but he was inaccurate early.
He was. But he went through the growing pains on the field. And it's a lot different when you do it on the field versus doing it on the field, have an injury, go through a little rehab, come back in the practice field, look like you kind of got it back, then you get back to the field, then you get hurt. So he needs to stay healthy, number one. That's the most important thing I'm looking at. Can he stay healthy? Can he play this whole season out? Because if he can't, you have to have reliability. Mm-hmm. To me, I would take a guy that's more reliable than a guy that can, you know, that has the most talent in the world, but if he's not on the football field, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Durability, reliability, all those things are going to be very important to watch in Miami in that first week. Coming up, more quarterback talk. Mac and cheese in Foxborough. Nico, you know all about that. Big concerns about the Patriots offense. Could this be one of Bill Belichick's worst seasons in New England? We're talking about that next. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. Oh, this is the best rivalry in sports. Dan Graziano, here's for you. Winning percentage, which active NFL franchise owns the best record all time?
All right.
Oh, he's confident. Braz is confident. We'll have an answer coming up next. Stay with us. Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, back to sneaky Hembo time. All right, by winning percentage, which active NFL franchise, Dan Graziano, owns the best record all time?
All time, you got to think way back, because like these, the old franchises that have had success over and over again, that won NFL championships, that won Super Bowls in multiple different generations. My guess, and it is a guess because I don't know, is the Green Bay Packers. Oh, yeah. Brandon had it too.
Hembo.
Let it be known. Brandon
nails it. Can you guess number two by any chance?
I was going to guess the Bears, because they're kind of up
Bears
there.
Bears are fourth. Bears are fourth, yeah.
So,
yeah. Number two is an interesting one, actually.
It's
a team we talk about a lot.
Patriots?
No.
I don't know. Dallas I got Kemper. It right. You know, Dallas you're Kemper. Killing me. You're giving me. I'm not supposed to get the top four.
I was
four.
Speechless. Look at this score.
Who was number two?
19. Dallas? The Cowboys.
Dallas. Oh, gotcha.
Right. Just there by a mere percentage point. But, I mean, we're talking about Michigan, Ohio State got nothing on this. Yeah. I mean, this is Hembo Graziano. We got 19-14. Do we have a trophy or something at the end of the season?
No. Having won last year, I can assure you there is no trophy. I'm still waiting.
There is no trophy, but you have the pride, obviously, of winning. All right, it's time now for a new segment on the show we're calling, it's my favorite candy, Reese's Pieces. Mike Reese joining us from, Patriot Place in New England. We got the top storyline. So how about we begin with where we're always concerned? The level of concern for Mac Jones and that offense. Who's calling the plays?
Well, Alan, let's start with the level of concern. There was enough concern yesterday that David Andrews, one of the team's captains, gathered the entire offense after a very tough practice and had an extended chat with them. Things are not trending in the right direction. Only 10 practices, though. They still have time to work it out.
Mike, I kind of jumped the gun on the second question because it's the question I think if I was a reporter there, if I was in your shoes, I would ask this every day, every game. Who's calling the plays for this offense?
Alan, calling a false start on you right there. 5 yards here from Reese's Pieces.
Throw
Matt Patricia, Friday night, they were in the stadium. It was an in-game simulation practice. They split up the team. Starters on one side, backups on the other side. And it was Matt Patricia leading that first unit offense. Bill Belichick, the wild card, still a possibility.
Reese gets a segment. He's thrown flags on me already. Unbelievable. All right, how about the defense? Will it be better than it was last season?
Well, think about who they have to get through, Alan. The Bills. They didn't force the Bills to punt the last two times they played them last year. Big hole to fill at cornerback without J.C. Jackson. They're rotating some players through. The offense hasn't been great. So, to be honest, Alan, it's been hard to tell how much of that is due to the defense.
All right, let's bring everybody into this segment now. Little Reese's Pieces. We should have a bowl of them on the table.
Which you couldn't partake because you've been penalized.
It's true. No Reese's Pieces for me. But when we talk about the Patriots, let's talk about the number one concern with the team today, right now. So, Nico, you played in New England. Let's start with you.
Well, I would say just reading everything through camp, the offensive line struggling is a big concern. You got a young quarterback. They have to establish the run. I feel like this team needs to run the football to help out Mac Jones in year two. What do you do when you run the football? Well, it sets up your play action pass, and that is what he was excelling at. So, again, I think that plus the new coaching change there at the offensive coordinator, you have to understand Bill and Josh – coached together for 253 games. Mm-hmm. Now, with that comes any situation you could possibly imagine. Super Bowl, 1 yard line, defensively. You know, when you have people that have been there, you're like, okay, let's run this, let's run that. Well, now you have Matty P and you have Bill. So that's a different chemistry. They're going to have to go through some growing pains here through the season and learn how do we communicate in these situations. And I just feel like with that, there could be some moments where they look a little sluggish early in the season. But, again, I have faith that with the Patriots, you always talk about that snowball. You start small. As it rolls down the hill, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Usually in September, you're still trying to figure out your roster. You're looking at guys from other teams that are cut. You're trying to build your roster out. And then you hope that in November, you're starting to roll into being in the hunt for the division. Then you get in the playoffs, and then you're playing your best football. So I'm not panicking right now, but I just think that the offensive line issues – right now, it kind of concerns me.
Mike Reese, you've covered this team for two decades, although you don't look it. You still look very young. It's amazing.
It's the hair.
Although I guess all that winning.
It's the hair.
It's got to be
hair.
Really nice. But is this season different than any season that you've covered over the last couple of decades?
Alan, I'm picking up the penalty flag after that fine compliment. Thank you very much. What looks different to me is the offensive coaching. When I think, you know, I've watched the offense through 10 practices and it doesn't look the same to me. And I think about the coaching lineage that's been here under Bill Belichick's 23 years. Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator who helped bring Tom Brady along in the early 2000s. Then he passed the torch to Josh McDaniels, an up-and-coming coach, and then he passed the torch to Bill O'Brien. Then O'Brien passed the torch back to McDaniels. These are excellent offensive coaches. When I look out now, I don't see a coach that has that background on offense. Matt Patricia won Super Bowls as a defensive coordinator. Joe Judge won Super Bowls as a special teams coordinator. They are exceptional coaches, but this is not their primary expertise. That is what feels different to me. When I look at the offense, I was always able to say, like, they'll come up with the answer. Now it makes me wonder just because the lack of offensive experience on the coaching staff.
Yeah, it's something that Ninko was saying in our meeting before. It's like unnecessary pressure that you're putting on who are great coaches, but you can now start picking them apart. Mike T, you've worked with Bill Belichick for years and also worked against him for years. When you think about Mac Jones in his second season and the fact that they don't have an offensive coordinator, they don't have the traditional way of doing things, is he setting up his second-year quarterback to fail?
Not at all. Let me tell you a story. Go back to the late 90s. Bill Parcells was the head coach, and he was the play caller. I was a young assistant charting plays in the coaching booth, and even though Charlie Weiss was the coordinator on game day, Bill Parcells was the head coach and play caller, and we had a lot of success. And the other person that can pull it off on the planet is Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick is more than capable of being a play caller. So even though there's a little bit of a work in progress, he believes in Joe Judge. He believes in Matt Patricia. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if Bill Belichick was not only the head coach, but the play caller. And it's hard. Any of us would be hard-pressed to think that, based on his Hall of Fame career, that he wouldn't be successful doing that.
I think that's what's interesting about the setup, right? I was once told about Belichick that he really wants to keep his circle of coaches tight. His assistant, he has six or eight guys that he can trust. So he'd rather give this responsibility to two coaches that he knows and trusts and has groomed as coaches than go outside the organization and hire somebody he doesn't know and put his trust in that person. So I think it's a fascinating exercise as it pertains to Belichick and his ability. And I do think he'll be heavily involved on that side of it while they get it up and running.
All right, Mike. We'll let you get back to work. Thank you so much, and no more flags. All right. Well, speaking of training camps, the Magical Mystery Tour with Dan Graziano, is that actually your bus?
I did not have a bus. That. I had a series of rental cars and an airplane.
We'll get you the Graziano Cruiser. We can get you here. But Graz on tour. So tell us about some of these visits.
I was with the Colts on Saturday. I got a chance to talk to their GM, Chris Ballard, and asked him about, I said, I come every year and ask you about your new quarterback. And he laughed and he said, it's not what we're trying to do. Very happy with Matt Ryan, though. Ballard told me Ryan has, more than any other player in the league, knows what it's like to get this close to a title and not win one. He has that sense of urgency, and he says he's doing a good job making sure everybody else in the building has it as well. Where else do we want to talk about? The Bengals. Yeah, day before that, I was
on
in
to Cincinnati.
Yes. Joe Burrow not practicing because he's coming off the appendectomy. They don't need him. You see Joe Mixon throwing a touchdown pass there. I'm kidding. But they're not worried about that. Zach Taylor, I had a chance to talk with him, the head coach. He said, look, my message to this team is last year means nothing. Yes, it's great that they know how much hard work it takes to get to the Super Bowl, but they're putting that behind them, and they're focused on this year. He said this year's training camp feels just like last year's, and that is a good thing. I also had a chance to talk to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, or in St. Joseph, Missouri, far from Kansas City, at Chiefs camp. Asked him about last year's experience. Remember early last year, the offense was struggling. Teams were playing them deep. He had to take more underneath stuff. He says that experience will help him in a post-Tyreek Hill universe because it'll enable him to go through his reads a little better. He feels like it helps him develop as a quarterback, and it'll set him up well to work with the crew he still has at receiver.
Love it. Do you get tours, T-shirts at least, or something? The Gross Tour 2022?
No trophy, no T-shirt, no bus. I don't know.
Reese gets his own segment. He doesn't get Reese's Pieces. Anyways, we get more Kevin Durant next on Get Up. His new demand gets a public response from the owner of the Nets. Does Brooklyn have to trade him right now? We're talking about it next.